when you read Paul's letters, you can sense that Paul was not always loved. Some people looked at Paul and wanted to know by what authority was he doing the things that he did or said the things that he said. And Paul answers the question. You know, a lot of us, we want to be popular. I can't think of a single child who wants to be picked last for a team game. And I don't know of any adult who wants to be overlooked when they are working hard at their job. Entertainers know that popularity is what makes them rich. And throughout the whole spectrum of society, everyone knows how important it is to be popular. That's not a sin to be popular in and of itself. But trying to market yourself often brings up the credibility question. Who do you try to please to become popular? Paul starts his letter to the churches of Galatia by calling himself an apostle, not from men or through men, but through Jesus Christ. And then he tells these Christians that they are no longer following the gospel of grace. That we covered that this morning. But then Paul comes to verse 10 in Galatians chapter 1. For do I now persuade men or God? Or do I seek to please men? For if I yet please men, I should not be the servant of Christ. But look at the questions that Paul raises. He says that what he does has nothing to do with being popular. It is an answer very similar to what Peter and John responded to in Acts 5 in verse 29 when they were standing before the Sanhedrin. And they responded to them, "We ought to please God rather than men." The apostles, every single one of them, were absolutely convinced that what they were teaching is God's message concerning Christ. And if the Sanhedrin or anyone else didn't like it, then that was their problem. You know, standing for God is sometimes a very lonely place. It takes conviction to speak the truth in love. It is courage to know when questioned what your answers could cost you. And maybe in certain cases it could even cost you your life or your freedom. And Paul, just like Peter and John and the other apostles, they all stood with God. And the reason was simple. They were slaves to Christ. I don't know if this is where certain Christians get the idea of testimonies. But here in verses 11 and 12, Paul gives us and begins his declaration. And a lot of folks, because if you look in a thesaurus, one of the other words for declaration is testimony. But Paul begins here in verse 11 and through verse 12, "But I certify to you, brethren, that the gospel preached of me is not after man. For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by revelation of Jesus Christ." You know, when the Restoration Movement began and certain men started to insist upon going back to the Bible, the catchphrases that were often used was, "We speak where the Bible speaks, that we're silent where the Bible is silent." And by the mid-1900s, Christians who were involved in these restoration churches, namely the Church of Christ, were known as the people of the book. They gave Bible answers to the questions of the day. They wanted God to speak more than they interpret. You know, but Paul didn't have the Bible that we have today. So Paul defended his message by reminding them that the gospel he preached was not something that he was taught by any person, but was given to him by revelation through Jesus Christ. Unlike Paul, Peter and John were blessed to have been taught by Jesus for 3 years. But Paul does claim, and rightly so, that he was personally taught by Jesus. How do we know that what he was saying is true, or if he was simply trying to mount a defense? In verses 13 and 14, Paul begins to share his story. He said, "For you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers." There was a mixture that Paul was speaking to. There were Jews. There were Gentiles. And he speaks to those Christians who hold some type of teaching about circumcision, and that he was very much, in his early days, a very zealous Jew. Many of us know he was born a Roman citizen, that he was sent at a very young age to Jerusalem to be taught by one of the most famous rabbis of that day, Gamaliel. He quickly rose through the ranks of the Pharisees. Paul was a man, a young man, who wanted to be popular. Paul was a young man who rose through the ranks with zealousness to prove himself as one that was sound in the traditions of his father. But on that road to Damascus, something drastically changed his life. In verses 15 through 20 in Galatians chapter 1, Paul writes, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred, not with flesh and blood, neither did I go up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went to Arabia and returned again to Damascus. And then after 3 years, I went up to Jerusalem to see Peter and stayed with him for 15 days. But the other apostles I did not see except for James, the brother of the Lord, the Lord's brother. Now the things I write to you, behold, before God, I do not lie." His point in these verses was, look at my life. See the change. And verify that change by people in whom you trust. People like Peter and James. You know, one of the greatest proofs that Jesus is the Son of God is us. It's not a book. It's us. Paul never hid his past, even though it could be held against him. In this case, his past proved that his declaration that Jesus personally revealed the gospel to him and that Jesus commissioned him to preach among the Gentiles. Paul was not trained to go to the Gentiles. Paul's desire was not to go to the Gentiles. Paul's desire was to persecute Christians. But all that changed. The pre-conversion you and the you that follows Christ today may not be as stark a contrast as Paul's, but it is definitely a contrast. It is in these verses here that Paul wants those to whom he sent this letter to accept his authority, and that his authority came from Jesus Christ. And he used his changed life to be a part of that. Man today has gone off to the extreme. Man today is trying to convince other people to go to the gospel by listening to their own personal testimony. And there's nothing wrong with telling people where you were and what you've become. But Paul only uses that to prove that the message that he is delivering is the truth. I can't claim a road to Damascus moment in my life. I can't lay claim that Jesus spoke to me or God spoke to me. I can lay claim that the gospel message touched my heart and showed me that I needed to change and that I needed to obey. But that's as far as it goes. While God's word is our authority, people don't often turn to the Bible with a great desire to let it change them. They don't often turn to the established churches to learn how to live holy lives. But what they do check out Christ is by reading you on how you react, how you behave, how you conduct your life. That's what they're reading. What we say in social media, what we do in our communities, and how we act when we are belittled speaks about the power of Christ. When they realize that their anger is met by your love, it confuses them. It truly confuses them. By what authority do you live a morally pure life? By what authority do you stand up with boldness and yet have your words seasoned with grace? The answer is clear. It is the authority of God's message, the gospel of Christ, the grace extended to you gives you the authority to stand against sin. God wants to use our lives to be his declaration. God wants us to behave in a manner that everywhere we go, Christ is promoted. Christ is elevated. God is elevated. You can't find joy, harmony, and peace in anything else. You can't. You can't find it in your work. You can't find it in your schools. You can only find it in the love of God. And you being the example shows others that grace and that love. Paul's letters had some very harsh things to say to people. Today you would be censored from Twitter. Today you would be censored from society and social network for the boldness that Paul spoke with. But the way we react, the way we behave, you can't shut that out. You can't block it. You can't take it away. They can't unfriend you. Nowhere. If there is anyone here this evening who is in need of the prayers of the congregation, we want to give you that opportunity tonight. If your desire tonight is to obey the gospel of Christ through repentance, confession, and baptism, we pray that you will make that decision tonight. If there's anyone that has a need, we pray that you'll come as together we stand and we say.